Hello everyone, and welcome back to Murder, Mother and Me, where each week we will dive into some of the most infamous murders, mysteries and everything in between.
So if like us you are intrigued by all things true crime, you're in the right place.
I'm your host Josh.
And I'm your other host Patty. I'm the mother.
And I'm the me.
As always, thank you for all the support so far on our podcast.
Please don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Murder, Mother and Me Podcast. Share with your friends and write us a review.
But only if it's a good one.
Right everyone, let's get on with this week's episode. This is the mysterious disappearance of Bryce LaSpisa. In August of 2013, 19-year-old college student Bryce LaSpisa left his apartment in Northern California to drive home to his parents in Southern California. It wasn't a planned trip. His parents didn't expect him, but sometime during that drive, over the course of nearly 24 hours, his journey took a series of strange turns. Hours later, his SUV was found wrecked at the bottom of an embankment near Castaic Lake. His wallet, phone, and laptop were inside, but Bryce was gone. But before we go any further, let's go right back to the beginning. Bryce David LaSpisa was born on April 30th, 1994, in Illinois to parents Karen and Michael. He was their only child, something that often comes with a certain kind of closeness. Friends of the family say the three of them had a strong bond. Bryce was easy to notice. His hair was a bright, unmistakable red. His green eyes stood out against his pale complexion. He was friendly, talkative, and quick to make friends. From a young age, Bryce showed a natural artistic talent. He could spend hours sketching, working with colour, and experimenting with design. His parents supported his creative interests, making sure he always had the tools he needed. When the family moved to Laguna Niguel, California, Bryce adapted quickly. He played sports, kept busy socially, and thrived in school. By the time he graduated high school in 2012, his career path seemed clear. He wanted to pursue art and design. That fall, Bryce moved 450 miles north to Rocklin, California, to attend Sierra College. He majored in industrial and graphic design. His first year went smoothly. He was living with a roommate named Sean Dixon, had a girlfriend named Kim Sly, and seemed to be enjoying college life. From the outside, Bryce's future looked promising, but when he returned to school in his second year in August 2013, things began to change. Sounds like a normal ginger, doesn't he?
It sounds like he's quite talented, though, at art. From what we've just heard.
He seems to have a sort of regular, normal life, doesn't he? He's got a roommate, a girlfriend, just average sort of college kid. But now things are going to change, so let's see how they change.
Friends noted the shift immediately. Bryce had always been social, but now his habits were different. He was drinking more, often heavily, and taking Vyvanse, a stimulant used to treat ADHD. According to those close to him, Bryce didn't have a prescription. Vyvanse can keep someone awake for extended periods, increasing focus in small doses, but in higher amounts it can cause anxiety, restlessness, paranoia, and impaired judgment. When mixed with alcohol, those effects can be amplified. On Monday, August 26th, Bryce texted Kim saying he had something important to talk about. He never told her what it was. The next day, August 27th, his behaviour became more unusual. He gave away a pair of diamond earrings he often wore. He sent a message to a friend that read, "You're better off without me." These kinds of gestures, giving away valued possessions, making cryptic statements, can sometimes be a sign that someone is in emotional distress. At the time, his friends didn't realise just how serious things might be.
I always find it a bit weird when people start doing that, like giving away stuff and saying random stuff by text.
Well, it's like, it's supposed to be, isn't it? Like thinking of ending the life, really. So they start giving away their possessions and things,
don't they? It's always like a bit of a cry for help, I think, as well.
Well, that's what they're saying, that he's in emotional distress. And if they're thinking he's going to take his own life, if that's what they mean, which I'm guessing that's what they mean, then obviously he was in some kind of emotional distress.
Well, also saying you're better off without me, it kind of leans into wanting a response saying, no, I'm not. I want you in my life. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of giving someone a reason to give you...
a cry for help a little bit.
Yeah,
sort
exactly.
You want validation.
Validation, that's it.
Yeah. But I wonder what made that sudden change come about, though.
Well, I think that medication that he was taking without a prescription, I'm assuming that's going to play a big part in what's going to happen here.
Yeah. Remind me never to take Vyvanse. I'm already anxious and paranoid without it.
Well, especially when it's saying, you know, if you mix it with alcohol and all that, it can, you know, amplify the effects.
And I'm guessing he was mixing it with alcohol. He was a college kid, wasn't he? They drink a lot of alcohol, I think, by and large.
On Wednesday, August 28th, Bryce spent the evening at Kim's apartment.
Kim later said he wasn't acting like himself. His speech was slightly slurred, his movements restless. When she pressured him, he admitted he had taken Vyvanse. Concerned for his safety, Kim took his car keys so he couldn't drive. Bryce became upset and called his roommate Sean, who urged Kim to return the keys. She eventually did, but not before telling Bryce she thought he needed to see a doctor. He refused. Instead of going home to his apartment, Bryce got into his beige 2003 Toyota Highlander and drove off.
So Kim sounds sensible, doesn't she? She can obviously see there's a problem.
She just sounds like a worried girlfriend, doesn't
she? Yeah, and she's trying to stop him driving.
At 1 a.m. on Thursday, August 29th, Bryce called his mum, Karen. He said he was driving to Laguna Niguel to see her and his dad. The visit wasn't planned, but Karen didn't question it. By 9 a.m, Bryce was in Button Willow, a small farming community off Interstate 5, about 350 miles south of Rocklin, but instead of continuing his drive, he stopped.
Doesn't that sound lovely, Button Willow?
Button Willow sounds like something out of a book, doesn't it?
I imagine, like, just all mice live there.
And trees. Yeah, like Peter Rabbit.
Yeah, like mice dressed up, and like a toad that fishes in the pond.
He parked at a rest area and stayed there for hours. By mid-morning, Karen, who had been in contact with him by phone, grew concerned. She called a local roadside assistance service and spoke to a man named Christian. She asked if he could check on her son. Christian found Bryce sitting in his car. He seemed polite, alert, and coherent. There was no sign of injury or distress, but he had been there for an unusually long time.
So, his mum, because he was late arriving, called a roadside assistance, like a policeman or something.
Just to go and check up on him.
And he's just sitting there in his car.
Yeah, you know they have like highway assistance and stuff like that. You have to meet him as well on the motorways.
But he's just sitting there, isn't he?
He's just sat in his car.
Not going anywhere.
So that alone is
weird. In the middle of nowhere, really.
That alone is very strange.
And they're saying there was no sign of injury or distress, but he'd been there for a long time. So to me, that's like he's sitting thinking about things. Because what else would you be doing sitting there?
Over the course of the day, Christian checked on Bryce multiple times, at one point bringing him 3 gallons of gas. Each time, Bryce said he would get back on the road, but hours went by without progress. It wasn't until 11 p.m, nearly 13 hours after he arrived in Button Willow, that Bryce finally resumed driving south. So he's been sat there for pretty much a whole half a day.
Well, that's a whole day, isn't
well,
it?
Well, to be honest,
counting the night time, I was 12 hours. I mean, if it was 8 o'clock in the morning, he sat there from 8 in the morning till 8 at night. Just
I thought when it said he'd sat there for a couple of hours, it meant like 2 or 3 hours. 13
well,
hours is
I
ridiculous.
I think initially, when she notified the roadside assistant, it was maybe just a couple of hours, but he's gone back and checked on him, which was a really good thing to do, wasn't it? And he's even got him like gas so he can drive. Maybe he told him he didn't have enough to
well,
carry
it
on.
Sounds like every time the roadside assistance guy, Christian, got there, Bryce said, yeah, I'm going to go in a minute.
Yeah.
So he's gone.
He still stayed there.
And he's still there.
Yeah.
13 and then hours.
And then he resumed driving south.
Around 2 a.m. on Friday, August 30th, surveillance cameras captured Bryce's SUV heading toward a remote access road near Castaic Lake in Los Angeles County. Minutes later, another camera saw him leaving the area. Just after 4:30 a.m, a passerby spotted an SUV at the bottom of a 25-foot embankment. It was Bryce's Toyota Highlander. The vehicle was on its side, with the back window broken out from the inside. Inside the car were Bryce's wallet, phone, and laptop, but Bryce himself was gone. Footprints were found leading away from the crash site, but they stopped after a short distance.
Gets stranger, this story, doesn't it?
It does get weird. So, well, he's obviously crashed down an embankment, we know that for sure. And he's kicked the back window out and walked away from the car, but he's not called anyone, I assume. There's no contact.
If he kicked out the window and he got out and walked, I don't think his injuries obviously were that bad. But it's saying it's gone down an embankment. And was that near the lake?
No, it said that surveillance cameras saw him heading towards a remote access road near the lake.
Near the
but
lake.
But then minutes later, it saw him leaving the area as well.
Right.
And then this is 2.5 hours later now that he's crashed down this embankment.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe he was trying to drive into the lake.
And
if
also,
he was suicidal, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And also, is it a possibility that maybe the crash has left him a bit concussed or something and he's not really thinking that's why he's left all of his belongings in the car?
And I wonder if he drove down the embankment by accident because he was tired, or was it, you know, as an accident, or did he do it on purpose?
Well, if he did it on purpose, I would assume you would try and do it with a force that's probably going to kill you, not where you need to then boot the window out and leave the car. Do you know what I mean? Otherwise, why would you crash it purposely? But the fact that he's left his wallet, his phone, and his laptop in there, it's either one of two things. He's done it on purpose, or he's a bit dazed and disoriented from the crash that he doesn't really know what's going on.
So if you were going to run off, you know, if he's like, obviously been thinking about things and there's some reason he wants to disappear. Surely you'd take... Well, he wouldn't want to be tracked, would he? So you'd take something with you, wouldn't you? I think he'd need money, wouldn't he?
Search teams began work immediately. Dogs tracked the scent trail, helicopters scanned the area from above, and divers searched Castaic Lake. The area around the crash is rugged, rocky terrain, steep hillsides, and dense brush. The lake itself covers over 2,200 acres. Despite extensive effort, no sign of Bryce was ever found. Over the next several days, the search radius expanded. Flyers were distributed, media coverage brought in tips, but none led to a confirmed sighting. With no concrete evidence, investigators and the public have focused on three main theories. Voluntary disappearance. Bryce may have chosen to walk away from his life. His cryptic messages, the giving away of personal items, and the unexplained delay in Button Willow could point to this. But without money, supplies, or a vehicle, surviving in the area would be difficult. Mental health crisis or drug reaction. The combination of Vyvanse and alcohol could have caused confusion, paranoia, or psychosis. He may have crashed by accident and wandered away disoriented. However, despite thorough searches, no remains have been found. Foul play. After leaving the crash site, Bryce may have encountered someone who harmed him. The area is remote but not empty. Workers, travellers, or others could have been nearby. Still, there is no direct evidence of an attack. Well, I mean, all of them are viable, aren't they?
I think the drug taking's got a lot to do with it.
Yeah, that's my initial reaction, definitely.
I mean, it says that when they found the crashed car, that there was footprints and then they stopped. So, where did you go then? I mean, it might have been that the ground was a bit muddy or something.
Yeah, maybe they just
disappeared.
Yeah,
sort
they just disappeared.
Because the ground got harder. But to get out of that area, someone would have had to have picked him up.
I think all of this has been building up from his taking of this medication. That's what it feels like. It feels like him taking this Vyvanse has kind of altered his personality in a way. And that's the reason that he's been acting strange leading up to this, and it's probably caused him to make weird decisions.
But what happened to him now? I mean, if he came out of the car, he had to go somewhere, didn't he? So did he wander into some woodland? Which they did an extensive search, so he would have turned up. If he hopped into a car, I'm not saying he was abducted or murdered, but they would have dropped him off somewhere. Surely someone would have sized him because he was quite distinctive looking as well with that red hair.
Well, also, if he got into a car, if they're saying there was footprints left at the scene, surely there'd be tyre tracks or something. Like, they would... I think they'd have an inkling that he got into another vehicle.
Well, never think if you... I'm talking about if he went to, like, a main highway, if he wandered off to a main highway.
Oh, and hitchhiked or something.
Yeah, something like that.
It's a possibility.
Yeah, it's a possibility, but even if somebody never came forward and said that they picked him up, it's such a big place. They might not have just seen it on the news, even to this day.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I think it's a mixture of option one and two, to be honest. I think he wanted to disappear, but I think it was fueled by this drug that he was taking.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Mixed with the alcohol and everything.
I think when I've read about this in the past, there's been various sightings of him, like a homeless shelter and things like that. So maybe he did disappear and go somewhere. There was obviously something troubling him and he wanted to maybe tell his girlfriend or tell his parents, but just opted out of doing that and chose the other option.
This is really, really similar. I know we always compare cases, but it's really similar to the Brandon Swanson disappearance that we covered as well. Where
wasn't Brandon Swanson a ginger?
No.
Oh.
No, not at all.
I was going to say, there's a theme going on here.
No, but it's very similar in terms of his car was found in the middle of nowhere. Nothing was ever found of him anywhere. No sight, no trace, no nothing. And his body's never been recovered. And he just disappeared into nowhere.
It happens quite often though, doesn't it? Probably more than we know about.
But I think the question still remains, doesn't it? Like you've just said, where actually is he though? Where's he gone?
Only he knows that. It's sad for his parents though, isn't it? You know that. They tried to make sure he got home safely. And it was an unexpected trip as well. So it was obviously something he wanted to say. And I think they went into a lot of different theories about what it could be. But literally no one knows because he never told anyone. But they're going to keep searching for him, aren't they? Obviously because they don't know what happened to him. I actually think that he's still alive.
Maybe he just wanted to start a new life. Maybe he was just fed up with everything and that was the easiest way to do it for him.
I think he's still alive. What do you think?
I'm 50-50. Bryce's disappearance left his parents, friends and investigators with more questions than answers. Why did he spend nearly 13 hours in Button Willow? Why drive to Castaic Lake in the middle of the night? And most importantly, where did he go after the crash? His parents continue to hope that one day they'll have answers. Until then, his case remains one of California's most puzzling missing person cases. In an age where almost every step we take can be traced, it's hard to believe someone can simply vanish. But in the early hours of August 30th, 2013, Bryce LaSpisa did just that. Now that one is going to annoy me because we really don't know what happened.
You're annoyed by anything that.
And we really don't have an idea though. He could have been picked up by someone. He could have just walked into a woods somewhere. He could have walked into the lake. He could have. I don't know. There's so many could haves.
I wonder what it was that made him want to leave though. But it was probably magnified by that Vyvanse he was taking.
I have no doubt that this whole situation is fueled by that. Especially when it's saying when you mix it with alcohol and stuff, it can make you have psychosis and all kinds. Like, yeah. You don't know what's happening.
Because he was saying it's like first year in college was all fine, wasn't it? But then people have things that no one knows about. So
well, of course
you
they
just
do, but
know.
I don't think it's a coincidence that his first year was fine. And then when he starts second year, it's as he started drinking more heavily. Yeah. And he started taking this drug that wasn't prescribed.
Was he taking the drugs and drinking more heavily because there was a problem? Or did that cause the problem?
And that's what's going to annoy me, is that we don't know the answers to any of these questions.
That's going
to
annoy me now.
Right, everyone, that's it for this week on Murder, Mother and Me.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next time.
And remember, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime.